first speaker, and I give you all John.
I'm Ag named John.
Hey, John.
Something by the grace of God that I'm here. And when I say that, I don't say that lightly because I know that today is mercy is my color.
All right.
I ain't never had it so good.
Come on.
I'm blown away by this program, man. I don't know about you, man, but I ain't never had it so good, man.
That's right.
I don't want to die, man, knowing better, but just don't do better, man.
I know that's
you know. And the disease never needed the drug, man. It was going to get me one way or the other. Man, I thank God for being able to stand here in the flesh, man. Because it's only one body to a casket. Can't take nobody with you, man. And before I go on, man, I want to give honor to a brother, man, who's been there for me ever since I've been in this program. Since I came here, and when I came here, he came after me. And that's G. Butler Bay. Man, I'm just sweating. It's true, sir. You know, cause, and then, man, you know, yeah, I'm probably gonna cry because, you know, when I came here, you know what I'm saying. But I see so many people, man, who came out here today to support me. And when I came here, jokers didn't even want to sit beside me. You know, man, I'm 61, and I don't see nobody in this audience that I use with.
All right.
So that should tell you something. I used for 37 years, man, and I don't see nobody that I use with. I'm the last man standing, man, out of 13. So I know, man, God got me. He had me then, and he got me now. I don't doubt nothing that happens because I know that everything happens for a reason. Don't nothing happen by chance or accident, man. Man, when I first got here, I used to tell my story, and people used to shy away from me. So after being here for 4, 5, or 6 years, I stopped telling my story and started telling what happened. And my sponsor say, man, your story is what's going to keep you clean.
That's right.
Because I didn't want to tell people that my whole life had been in and out of institutions, man. When they say jails, I'm talking about jails, man. I started off at 13, man. I robbed my first bank when I was 13 years old. Went in there to serve papers and filled the bag up. Filled the bag up with money at 13 years old and got away, man. And when I got locked up, they told me I was too young to go to jail. And they gave me a pass to doing what I wanted to do, man. I was in and out of banks like I was crazy, man. And every time I got busted, the first place they sent me, people out of D.C. know they had a place called Black Man Development Center. You understand? It was a place where they sent you that you wasn't old enough to go no place else. So when they sent me there, you know, I was already on it. I already had a habit at 14. I started shooting dope when I was 15, dollar cap. You understand? How many people out there know about that? Dollar cap dope. Yeah, there's quite a few of us out there. You understand? Yeah.
Buck action.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they called it there. You understand? But, man, I started doing wrong at an early age, man. If you had to look at my family, my scorecard would have read, he ain't supposed to be here. You know, mother, first lady in the church and all that other stuff. They prayed for me. They laid hands on me. You know, they, you know, and in the literature it says, you know, some of us have been counseled, prayed over, threatened, you know, and all of that other stuff, but you will not stop using until you want to. After doing 21 years, 9 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days in the penitentiary, straight, no break. When my family came to get me, I just said I wanted to walk to feel the sun on my face. And I ended up. Now I'm from D.C. And I ended up in my first meeting on 14th and V Street called the Reeds Club. But when I went in there, I went in there with the mentality that I had coming out the penitentiary, everything that had kept me safe. You know, I ain't going to tell you that, I was one of them dudes that came in like that, because I wasn't. And people that know me from D.C., I fought in there when I first came. I chased people out to meeting with knives. I threw chairs at people because people were sharing and I thought they was talking about me. Dude came in sharing one day, talking about, you know, man, when I was in the penitentiary, them penitentiary dudes this and that, and I thought he was looking at me. And I thought he was talking about me. So when he started out the door, I stole the stuff out of him. You understand? Chased people down the street with a knife because I thought he was talking about me in a meeting. He turned real fast. I slid down the street trying to catch up with him, skim my knees and everything up. But I'm telling you, man, I thank God for Narcotic Anonymous, man. This program have changed me, and it's changing me into the person that I want to be. I used to didn't share my story. I stopped sharing my story about the penitentiary because when I first got here, you know, people would say, man, don't talk about the penitentiary because people ain't going to sponsor you and all that. And a little dude walked up to me one day, and I didn't know that his brother's dead now. His brother and I, Jerry J, little dude this tall, you know, and I was looking at him. He dressed real nice, had a Mercedes, plenty of gold, job and all that. And he said, look, man, I'm going to sponsor you. I said, sponsor me now? I don't need no sponsor. And he looked at me. He said, man, I'm going to be your sponsor. And I say, I don't need no sponsor. He said, you ain't no killer nigga. You's a B. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to go back to jail. That's what you talk to like that. So when I started walking toward him, he said, you put your hand on me, you're going to jail. So I came. I kind of like looked at him kind of strange. I said, nigga, if your brother was living, man, he wouldn't even speak to you. He said, that's why he dead. So this guy introduced me to this program of Narcotic Anonymous, man. And we built a bond. And the bond that we built, man, he carried me through the first three steps of the program. And that's when I went back and forth for about 3 or 4 years. And, man, I still say that he's my sponsor today, man, but I needed more. Because I knew that 1, 2, and 3 wasn't going to keep me here.
That's right.
I had to find out why I used, man. It was an internal, not an external job. It was an internal thing that needed to work with me. I had to find out why I used. So I told him, I said, man, I'm going to get me he said, I understand, man. Because he was not doing the work no more. He had 20-something years, you know. He already felt like he had his. And, you know, when I wanted to do step work, he was always busy. You know. And I needed to get better, man. So I went and got a sponsor who told me the truth. You don't have the luxury, J.D., like the rest of these people around here, to wait to do work. And I need to tell you this. I never had a job in my life until I came to Narcotic Anonymous. I was 50 years old when I got here. I was 50 before I ever did an honest day's work. I came here 50 years old, man. I came out the penitentiary on a Tuesday. I started work on a Thursday. And I've been working 2 jobs for 9 years. I went back to school. I work in the field. I'm a substance abuse counselor. I'm an addiction counselor. I work in the field, man, and I love doing what I do. And I just don't go to the street. I go sit in dope houses, and I sit there. Because I want every addict to get what I got. If it can save my life, I know that it can save somebody else that's just like me. A wise man filleth his imperfection and is humble, Butler Bay. But a fool peepeth in the shallow streams of his own mind and is pleased with the pebbles which he seeth at the bottom. And he bringeth them up as pearls, and with the applause of his brethren he delighteth himself. Truth ain't but one, man. Doubts of thy own raising, man. I consider myself to be a wise man. I don't never, ever want to live like I lived before. I don't want nobody to be afraid of me like they were at one time. Man, when I came to Narcotic Anonymous, man, I was so messed up that people were coming to 14th and V from every dope strip in the city, standing outside of an NA meeting, nodding, scratching, drunk, coming up there waiting on me to come out of a meeting. And when I came out, they were saying, "Yeah, Jack, we're glad you're home. We can get some money now." I've been gone almost 22 years and you ain't got no money. But now you glad that I'm home and you can get some money now. I knew that I was through, man, but I didn't have the courage to tell them that I was through. By doing step work, I knew that it was the acceptance piece that I was looking for. I didn't have a dime, man. People were giving me money. They were giving me money. People were coming from dope strips. They was asking me for money. Man, give me $20. But my scared butt was so scared to tell them that I was through. The money that y'all was giving me, I was reaching in my pocket and said, "Man, stop begging. I'm going to do something in a minute. Just hold on." I didn't even have the courage to tell them that I was through, man. Man, I want it so bad, man. His sister sitting in the audience now. I want it so bad for my rap partner to get this thing, man. He did, man. Dusty gone, man. I'm saying, man, I wanted so bad for him to get this. But he did get a chance to come to a convention with us, man. He had cancer. And he rode with us down here. And he had a black trash bag in his lap and he spit up all the way. He was sick, man. And he said, "Man, if you can do it, I can, Jack." I don't like to talk about Charles, man, because, that shit breaks me down, man. I ain't want to come in this joint crying like this. God almighty, man.
Cleansing, man. It's cleansing.
I know that our mirrors, our eyes are the mirrors to our soul, and sometimes we got to wash it, man. You know, man, Narcotic Anonymous has been so good to me. I can't begin to tell you, man, how I feel on the inside. I don't try to talk about the program, man. It's in my walk, man. People that know me will tell you, "Man, that nigga done changed. He ain't the same, man." I hear all the time, man, all I wanted was for people to say, "Man, JD a good dude. Man, he ain't gonna see you hungry, man. You know, he ain't gonna see you sick. You know, he'll pay your rent. He'll do." Man, I found out through step work, all the people that was hanging around me when I was in the street, I thought that they were my buddies and my friends. Let me share this with you. I found out that I was being used up. The reason that I say that is because they know that every time I got high, they got high. They know that if I got high today, I was going to get high all day. If they was with me, didn't have a dime, they was going to get high. If I bought myself something today and you was with me, you got something. Man, and I used to want to think, yeah, that's my crew right there, Jack. Look, hey, Jay, you want me to handle that? So I thought that they, you know, the sick thinking, man. I thought that they really cared about me. But I found out, man, that I was just being used. Through step work, I found out, man, that I deserved better.
That's right.
I found out today, man, that it's all right to be who I am. You know, they should tell you, man, and I'm glad that a lot of people are in here, you know, they used to tell you, they used to call me Chief Tell-A-Lie. I used to lie so much, man, that I had to begin to believe the lies that I told myself. See, I had to make me believe it in order to make you believe it. That's why I thank God for this program, man, because I can tell the truth today. I don't have nothing to hide about who I am, what I do, where I come from, because I'm proud of who I am today.
That's right.
I'm all right being old sucker JD today. One time you couldn't say that to me. And now, you know what? When somebody says something, I say, you know me. You call me by name. I love being me, man. I love being the person that I am. Narcotic Anonymous is the best thing that ever happened to an addict like me. Man, what I know God has done for everybody in this room, he has given everybody a gift. The gift that he gave us was life. He did not let us die in an oil joint, taking the hit off the pipe, smoking dippers, whatever your drug of choice is. God gave you a second chance. He gave you a seat in this room today. But what God don't do is he don't make choices for us. God gives each and every one of us a will to choose. And the choice is ours whether we stay clean or not. You choose death over life. That's your choice. But see, God is such a gentleman that he won't even come in not unless we invite him. So, what I'm saying is, he ain't going to stop you from using. Oh, I ain't hear it. God is not going to stop you from using. That's why he gives you a will. Anytime a person can leave home in the morning, at night, whenever, without a dime. And we don't say, well, I think I'm going to go try to get high. We leave the house and out the door. Yeah, I'm going to get what I need, Jack. I'm going to get. You leave home with no money. You smoke all day. You dope all day. You do whatever it is to get high all day long with not a dime. But when it comes to staying clean, we got every excuse in the world. Man, I ain't got no money, man. I ain't going to look for no job in the rain. Man, they want me to catch three buses to go all the way to Maryland, and I might not even get the job. You didn't even catch a bus, and you walk from northwest to southeast on a promise that you might get something. But for something to better your life, you got an excuse for. Narcotic Anonymous and took all them with you, man. Man, I want to say this, and I'm going to turn it over, man, and I want to say this about my mom. I used to say all the time, that if something happens to my mother while I was doing a bit in the penitentiary, that they could cancel Christmas. Guess what? It happened. My mother died while I was in the penitentiary, and they would not even let me go to the funeral. And I haven't had the courage yet, coming up on almost 11 years, to go to my mother's gravesite. I am a mama's boy. And I could not even go to view her body. And I pray every day that God give me the courage to go see my mom. My dad, I blamed him because he wasn't there, and I had not spoke to my dad in 30 years. Well, God got us talking. In July, I'm going to see my dad for the first time. I've already put in leave on my job, and I'm going to spend a week with my father. But I know that I could not have done this without this program. This program is awesome, man. It ain't nothing that you can't do if you give yourself a chance. If you don't use, if you just don't use, if you just don't use, if you just don't use anything, 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 man. It's possible. Freedom ain't free, man. You got to put some work in. You can't just be around here being clean and accumulating clean time and not doing nothing with the problem that you got, because the same problems that you had when you came in, you will have the same problems when you go out if you don't do something about them. Some of us are sicker than others. The literature says that. If I take care of my addiction problem and don't take care of the other problems that I got, you know, some of us need medication, man. The literature says some of us are sicker than others. If I'm bipolar, and if I'm suffering from depression, if I got all these ailments and I'm not using, if I don't take care of the other ailments that I got, then I'm going to use again. So I need to take care of everything that goes on with me. And it all starts from the inside. This is the inside job, man. This is the best thing and the best kept secret for an addict just like me. Man, I want to thank y'all for coming out and supporting me. They say a person that has someone who they can talk to and tell exactly how they feel can get free. But if you have someone that you only share half the truth with, you can only get half the help. So you need to tell the truth at all costs. Yes. They say, what would you rather do? Save face or save, you know? Yeah. Well, I'm trying to save my life. So I'll keep doing what I do. And thanks for letting me share.
Maury, some of that. Woo, that was a powerful message. Yes. Well, without further ado, give you our other speaker. We'll give you Greg.
My name is Greg, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Greg.
Whew, let me get this off first. I'd never been asked to do a workshop. And my ego said after 11 years, they should have asked me to do a workshop right now before, you know. Then when they asked me to do the workshop, all the fear in the world set in. I don't want to be here because even coming up on 11 years, I still don't like talking about me. And this workshop is called Honesty, Open-Mindedness, and Willingness. I went to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting in November of 1989. My clean date is June 10th, 1997. Y'all do the math. They used to call me the 30-day wonder. After 30 days, they didn't have to worry about me because they know I'd be gone again. You know what I'm saying? But if an addict like me, if I don't do nothing strange, in June I have 12 years, this program will work for anybody. Anybody. You understand? I am so truly blessed to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I came here trying to find a way to use safely. I didn't want to stop using. I don't know about nobody else. If I could use safely, I'd be using today. But the story tells me I can't use nothing safely. You know what I'm saying? I'm an addict that will do anything when I'm using. You know? See, I'm the type of addict, I went to a convention in Atlanta, and I got another disease that walks around on two legs. You understand what I'm saying? And I was at the convention, and it looked good to me, and he wasn't in Narcotics Anonymous. And he said, I'm trying to go, you trying to go. And my other disease said, yeah, you trying to go. And he took me two blocks from Martin Luther King's house. And while y'all was downstairs counting off, I was upstairs beaming off. I'm the type of addict that will do anything. So I have to stay in these rooms. This is about being honest. You understand what I'm saying? I have to stay in these rooms. I don't trust my disease and I don't trust me. See, my story tells me what I'm capable of doing. I come from a house where you don't tell nothing that go on in this house. Honest. I didn't know nothing about being honest. Honest with me was not to tell the truth. It took me 8 years to get 1 year in this program because something slipped my mind. It says there are three principles in this program that are indispensable if you want to stay around here. It's honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness.
Go ahead, Greg.
I didn't have none of them. First of all, I wasn't willing to do shit because I was all right. I just get a little too high. You know what I'm saying? Honest. I'm only honest if you catch me. And I didn't have an open mind about anything. This program was for y'all, not for me. I'm just visiting. But I kept on visiting. You know, things would get raggedy and I visit again. I didn't want to lose my job, so I visit again. You understand? I didn't want to lose my man, so I visit again. So one day, an addict told me, why don't you just keep your ass here? Because God keeps sending you back here. Real simple thing. Because I'm a real smart guy. You understand? I paid good money to stand at the peephole all night. You know what I'm talking about? I had a revolving account with the dope man. He took my check and gave me more. I'm from Washington, D.C., and I used to live up by Walter Reed, and I worked for the engraving and printing. Anybody know anything about Washington, I would get paid on Monday and walk from one end of D.C. to the other on Tuesday. First of all, I had too much pride to ask somebody to give me bus fare. They stopped giving out, well, it was giving out transfers, but I had too much pride to ask somebody for one. You understand? Because I was always hiding who I was. That's why this thing wouldn't work for me. See, I'd smoke all night and come get a 60-day chip because y'all knew I was supposed to have 60 days clean. And then talk about somebody else who relapsed. Yeah. I'm talking about me. I know what I'm capable of doing in this program. You know what I'm saying? But I don't live like that today. Not in that era. I'm very, very clear that using, not using, has to come first. Above everything. See, I've been around here long enough to know that there's no excuses. If I use today, it's because I want to use. I want the what I think at the time is the easiest, softer way. But the pain, See, I'm not talking about an ass whipping that you heal up from. I'm talking about an emotional body shots that never go away. I'm talking about waking up in the morning and saying, God, why did you let me get up again? I'm talking about rather being dead than alive. Because that's how I was when I came, when I finally surrendered to this program. See, I was a Viking. I was a Viking queen, as they say. It was not going to get the best of me. So what I do is I retreat. I re-up and arm myself, and I go back and fight again. They tear my ass out the frame again. See, I remember that. You know, when the idea of using comes back into my mind, it just might be an option. It don't go away. See, when I don't do no work in this program, when I ain't willing to do some work on the next step, when I ain't willing to tell somebody what's going on with me, when I ain't telling them today I feel like shit after 10 years, 11 years in this program, I don't want to go on no more. The idea of using pops in my mind and it sounds good. But I know if I tell y'all what's going on with me, if I share the pain, you know, if I share it, I feel bad about myself. See, some days I don't feel good about me. When I walk into a room and I done slept with six men in there, I don't feel good about me on them days. And I want to say everything is all right. I'm talking about with time. Because a feeling came on me. When I eat that ice cream and I know I'm big as a house. But it's a feeling. See, that's using if you don't know. You know, narcotics is just a symptom of the disease of using. So I got to do some work to stay here. You know, I don't like getting up here and people tell you about you. So I'm honest as I want to be on any particular day. You understand what I'm saying? I'm open-minded as I want to be on any particular day. The one willingness that I have is that I don't want to smoke no crack today. I don't want to put a hype in my arm today. See, I did that too. I don't want to do no dippers today. You understand what I'm saying? I know that there is no hope in that. The only thing it's going to be is my death. You know, and the fear is, for somebody who they said was a chronic relapser, the fear is that God will let me stay out there and suffer. You know, that I won't be able to get back to these rooms. You know, because he blessed me by keeping sending me here. And when I got here, I was beefing with the God of my understanding. How could you make me gay? How could you let me get HIV? And how could you let me be an addict? How did you let me be brought up in a household where a man molested me and my mother told me it was your fault? But guess what I found in here? I found a God who loved me for just who I am. He made me just who I am. You understand? That's one of the blessings of this program. So you can keep yours, but I know what mine's done for me. He covered me when the gun didn't go off and they said we ought to blow this faggot's brains out. You understand what I'm saying? That's the one that told me to get up and leave the crack house with a whole lot of shit on the table. And they came 10 minutes after I left. See, I know my God watches out over me. You understand? You know, and it's all about him today. You got to get an understanding with him. Because I'm going to tell you something. When 3 o'clock in the morning you call your sponsor and you get a voicemail. When it's 4 o'clock in the morning and you don't want to go out in the street to get that fix. That two-legged fix. That's when I have to call on him. That's when he answers my calls. In the quiet of the night. You know, I'm learning how to sit still with me without the television on, without the radio on, and the VCR, everything going. Because I can't sit still with me, but I've learned how to get better with that. You know, I know that this program works. And let me tell you something. If anybody tells you that this ain't the place for you, then they don't know what they're talking about, because this is the place for anybody. You know, I came in here. I came in here and I got a little time, and a guy asked me to sponsor him. He was, they said, straight, whatever that is. Because up in here, it don't matter. We got one disease, addiction. You understand what I'm saying? And my story, I think, will keep somebody clean, especially somebody that keeps going in and out. You know? And they told him, you don't want him to sponsor you. He gay. I said, well, yeah, I am. It's my choice. Like John said, we all got choice, and I'm all right with that choice today. You understand what I'm saying? But I told him I can teach you how to stay clean one day at a time. I can teach you how, if you get in a relationship and they leave, not to use. See, I got in one of them with a newcomer. Lord have mercy. It wasn't him. It was all me. Because you'll find out what you're working on. Yes, indeed. And I used to talk about them too. I don't mess with newcomers. Everybody get a shot. Stay around here. Because it ain't no fun when you walk in the meeting and the whole meeting get quiet. You understand what I'm saying? You know they talking about you. Well, man, I am just so grateful for this program. You know, there's a lot of people in here. You know what I'm saying? Because I was saying it was 10:30, they done hung out and danced last night. Ain't nobody going to be here in the morning. But you know what? You chase your recovery just like you chase your addiction. So it didn't matter if it was 10:30 or 2:30. If they said they had it, I'd go get it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm kind of like John. I can't get to this side of the city. Well, if they said that's where it was, I went. And if they said it killed you, good God, I might have to get there quicker. And I said that, and y'all didn't y'all hear me say I was intelligent? Now, what intelligent person goes to chase death? See, I did a whole lot of smart decisions in my life. I don't have a jail story. I ain't never been to jail. Okay. But I can tell you how Lorton is down on the hill. Because I used to go down on the mat and take this nigga, take him some reefer. Now, most intelligent people stay out of jail. I go down on the mat and walk with the inmates like I was in jail. Now, that's smart. See, that's why I told you I'm capable of doing anything. You know, but today, I am just so truly blessed. You know, I have friends in my life who love me unconditionally. You know what I'm saying? Just for who I am. Because today, I ain't selling for less. I am who I am. If you don't like it, step. You know, and if I don't like it, then I got to do some work to get better at it. See, because I hear people talking about all the time that I don't like this and I don't like that, but if you ain't doing nothing to change it, you must like it a lot. Right. See, that's why I'm a firm believer that I like pain, because it takes a whole lot of pain to motivate me. Yes, I took a vicious ass whipping out there. Yes. I started out at, my mother was a bootlegger. Did I tell you, my mother was a bootlegger. So, you know, I had access to liquor very early. And so I could be popular in school. I used to take 2 or 3 half a pints and take them to school and drink. So I started real early. You know, the first thing that ever changed my mood was alcohol. I remember, for those who are old enough, they had a riot in Washington when they killed Martin Luther King. Some of you all might know that, about that. But anyway, we broke into a liquor store, right? Everybody else, so lunchtime came. I was going to Dunbar. Lunchtime came. We said we're going to go have a drink and come back to school. Everybody went back to school but me. I was laying in the gutter throwing up. So because of my emotional state all my young life, I was an addict just waiting to happen. All I needed something was to change my mood. You know, I thank God today for my godmother, who was my best friend and my therapist. See, I got a therapist since I've been here because I'm sick. See, I had to deal with the fact that I hated my mother for a long time. Today, my mother is my best friend. It's called forgiveness. And in order for me to be forgiven, I had to forgive her. And let me tell you this, too, what I found out is she made choices, too. They weren't all good. Because I ain't never been hungry. I ain't never been without something nice because she was a hustler. You know, and I always had a place to stay and a roof over my head. You understand? You know, my sponsor has taught me when you're in a situation, always weigh the pros and cons. So when I start weighing it out, she did the best she could do under the circumstances that she did. And I love her today unconditionally. And she's still with that man that molested me 40 years later. She's 85. He takes care of her. We don't have to. I got four brothers and sisters. He watch her every day. So you don't know what's in store in life, what's going to happen. But I knew that if I didn't get some help with that issue, I'd use again. You know, if I didn't get some help about the fact that my son died selling drugs and I was stealing all of my could from him, I'd use again. Those are excuses for using. But I like to hold on to the pain. You understand what I'm saying? My life is so full today. You know, I work, I'm a case manager. After 10 years, the grant ended on my job and I had to find a new job. And I found a job in 2 months. And that's a blessing. And I work, I'm a case manager for people just like us. And it's a true blessing because I always said I didn't want to work in this field because I deal with y'all every day. And damn if I wanted to deal with them at work too. But God had other things in store for me, you know what I'm saying? I believe today that the path that he laid for me is just in the beginning. I'm just starting to tap my relationship with him and where he wants to take me. You know, what I do know today, and I'm going to leave with this, is I don't have to use no matter what, you know. And if you got any excuses, you know, stick around. Give yourself a chance. If you're struggling, I got to say this. If you're struggling with this thing, look at me. If you're struggling with this thing, look at me. I was a 30-day wonder. I smoked crack at conventions. And I'm here today clean, coming up on 12 years, God willing. And I live in a city where HIV is running rampant. You know, and I want to share this. If you came in this fellowship and you were blessed to be HIV negative, please work on your behavior so that you don't become HIV positive. Thank you for letting me share.
Nate Morris, I'm grateful for covering that. We got about 10 minutes left. Does anybody want to come up and share? Mike, come up here and give us some message, man. No? Come on, Mike. You want something at 1:30? We don't have no burn in his eyes? I guess we can close with the serenity prayer.
Yes, sir. What's up, man? Little honey just came right along just to sit beside you. Front seat to a no. Next meet? Okay, well, I
won't be here.
2:50, okay. Is it 2:50? Oh, 2:50, right. The next, what time is it? Yeah. Somebody else will be secretary. You know, you can get with them. Somebody else. I won't. This is the only one. No, this is the only one. This one. That's all you do is one. You don't want to get too big-headed around here. You don't think you run anything. Say, now you do what? Yes, sir.
Wait up. You gotta talk for everybody. Like if I'm talking. Wait up. Tell me when you're ready. Yeah. You got it?